part three. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 65, part 3.
The heavy metal episode.
John. Yeah.
Again, I had to whip it out.
Whip it out.
And play Sons of Butcher.
One of our favorites, man. Sons of Butcher. They're from Canada, aren't they?
Yeah. My rock load is about to blow. Right down your throat. I love these guys. Anyway, you can get their CD right from their website, www.sonsofbutcher.com. They have a MySpace account, and you can probably pick it up at Amazon.com. I believe I've seen it there, too. But if you get it from their website, they'll sign it.
Sign it, John.
It's cheap. It's like $10 or something.
It's not cheap. It's inexpensive. Cheap says that the product,
you're
implying the product is
no,
for
good.
Shit.
Good shit.
So it's good shit, but it's inexpensive good shit.
With me, Ricky.
Well, let me ask you this question, John.
Yeah.
Who has killed more, John, Satan or God?
Oh, without a doubt, God.
You would be correct, John. This person went out and counted the number of people that were killed by God in the Bible and came up with 2,128,335, which, of course, greatly underestimates God's total death toll, since it only includes those killings for which specific numbers are given. No attempt was made to include the victims of Noah's flood, Sodom or Gomorrah, and Gomorrah, or the many plagues, famines, fiery serpents with which the good book is filled. Still, 2 million is a respectable number, John, even for world-class killers.
Yeah, right.
But you may ask, John, how does this compare with Satan? How many did he kill in the Bible? Well, this person could only find 10. And even these he shares with God, since God allowed him to do his part of the job. I'm talking about the 7 sons and 3 daughters of Job, or do you say Job? There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, John, one of the feared God and escheweth evil." Escheweth. Then Satan answered the Lord, "Put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord.
And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, John, I showed up, and there came a great wind from my ass and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young man, and they are dead, and only I, Satan, escaped alone to tell thee. That is from Job 1:1 through 19.
Wow.
All right, then. So it seems that both Satan and God share the blame or the credit for these killings. If so, then the final tally would be God, 2,128,345, plus, and Satan, 10.
Wow. He's definitely racking them up.
He's
if
racking
he was
them
playing
up.
Halo 2, he'd really be kicking some ass.
He'd be on, like, the 12th level.
Yeah. Xbox 360 featuring God.
Well, next week, John, I failed to bring it in this week.
Hold on. Featuring God.
I failed to bring it in this week, but next week we will continue our Bible lessons. Because, for one thing, there's some guy on Slate.com is blogging the Bible. So he reads the Bible and then he tells you what he thinks, and it's pretty good. Then the other thing is, last week we had a mistake. We need to correct it. We'll correct it next podcast.
Oh, my God.
Because we said that when God hates fags.
Oh, my God.
The abomination that is when a man lay with another man.
Yes.
We said that that was in Leviticus.
Leviticus.
And that is incorrect. It's in Deuteronomy, John.
Deuteronomy.
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 So we will correct that next podcast and tell you some other wacky rules that God has.
Wow.
From Leviticus and Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy.
And in God's own voice, too. Maybe we'll have God show up and talk to us. Because he talks to the W. If he talks to the W, why wouldn't he talk to us? That's what I'm saying, John.
That's right. Why wouldn't he talk to us? No doubt, John.
Wow. It's like he was here. He was like in us.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, some people think that God is in every living thing.
Right.
The energy of God.
According to Thomas.
Aquinas?
No. Thomas, Doubting Thomas, his Gospel of Thomas. He believed that's the way it worked, like Buddhism. Buddhism.
Buddhism. Yeah. Like Deuteronomy.
It's within you. Yeah.
Right.
This is good music for this, ain't it?
It is, man.
I just wrote it today.
You did?
I did, before I cut the
that
lawn.
Is sweet. Where's the lyrics, man?
There isn't any. I did some, but I thought you were going to laugh at me.
Come on. Why would I laugh?
So you dream of me in the night.
Why would I laugh at that?
I don't know.
The truth hurts, but it's not funny, John.
It sounded really cool with reverb and stuff. I was paying homage to Spike.
Of this great Spike and Rachel show?
Yeah, he does. When he does tunes, he sounds very very much like... God damn it. There
God?
It goes again. No. No, he sings like Type O Negative.
Type O Negative, kind of.
They're kind of like this. They sound kind of like this.
Well, next summer we need to get a road trip down and visit Spike and Rachel.
I am your God.
Are they in North Carolina? Is that right, North Carolina?
Take your soul away.
Listen to my fabulous drums. How about that, huh?
That's sweet.
Yeah, they live in A Carolina. I don't know which one.
Up with them. We'll get a gig or whatever. Or maybe just you and I will take a road trip, John.
Oh, yeah. I should send him this and have him put lyrics to it.
There you go. Well, you know, I was listening to their last episode, and Spike finally came to the realization that there is no right and wrong, that it's all based on perspective.
Oh, absolutely. How else could it be?
Yeah, but the thing, he went a step further and he said, there is no right or wrong for me, so I will no longer judge people. And where's the fun in that? I mean, half of the fun of life is judging other people and pointing out stupidity, isn't it, John?
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I definitely agree there is no right and wrong. It's all based on perspective, but you still got to have your own opinion about right and wrong.
Oh, yeah.
So you can judge other people and make fun of them.
Well, that whole thing is partly your defense mechanism, man.
Sure.
Got to have it.
God to have it?
God to have it.
No doubt.
No doubt, Scott.
Because it provides endless hours of humor, John.
That's right. No doubt, motherfucker.
No doubt, you flippers.
Oh, and that reminds me.
Yeah.
We need to see Saw.
Oh, yeah. You're afraid to see movies like that. I want to go see Descent. And you're like, no.
I'll see
scared.
It with you.
I was scared.
Because you have big, strong hands that I can hold on to. But we need to see that so we can parody that for our Halloween special.
I don't have big hands. You got freakishly large hands, dude.
I didn't say big. I said firm.
Big, strong.
Comforting.
You said big, strong.
Big. Yeah, they're strong.
You mean my arms.
I'm firm.
My arms are real
strong. All right, getting on with it then.
You know what you mean.
Bend
over, buddy.
I found this story. So what? What's this I hear about cutting and running, John? Get this. The W loves flatulence jokes. A top insider let that slip when explaining why President Bush is paranoid around women, always worried about his behavior. But he's still funny. An earthy guy who, for example, can't get enough of fart jokes. He's always known to cut a few for laughs.
Oh, jeez.
Especially when greeting new, young aides. What is up with that?
I hear there's rumors.
Hey, we're all into fart jokes.
Yeah.
Right, John? But when we meet new people, do we, like, rip one?
A fart just for the hell of it?
Just, you know.
Hey, man, smell this.
For laughs? Can you imagine? Like, let's say the W called us to the White House, John and Scott of TTN, and we showed up. He shook our hands, or he said, "Hey, pull my finger."
How are you?
You know, and then he let one rip.
Somebody's friend or somebody's neighbor.
We want to help you. We want to take you to the neighborhood store. That's a very interesting question.
Now that I think about it, it is funny to begin with, but the President of the United States doing it would amp it up by 10, right?
Oh, yeah.
Unless he's a chimp. And he has no control whatsoever.
I think... We want to help you.
All right, John.
You need to pray for the good Lord.
The good Lord.
How are you?
That's a long one.
How
there,
are you?
W.
How are you? And that's the truth.
Somebody's friend or somebody's
presidential
neighbor.
Fart.
Thank you very much. For and that's bad news for Al Qaeda.
All right, I'm going to give you a couple of quotes now, John, and then we're going to play a clip out of W.
Is he trying to start his car out there?
I think
either his battery's dead or it's cold. So here's a couple of quotes, and then we'll play the clip of the W.
The clit.
To explain himself. This is from 2002, John. September. The war on terror, you can't distinguish between Al-Qaeda and Saddam when you talk about the war on terror, John. And this is from October of 2002. We've learned that Iraq has trained Al-Qaeda members in bomb-making, John, and poisons and deadly gases. We know that Al-Qaeda in Iraq had high-level contacts with go back a decade, John. And this is from November of 2002. He, Saddam, is a threat because he is dealing with Al-Qaeda, John.
So what you're saying, all those point to the fact that he believes that Saddam had the means, the stuff and everything. He was going to attack us, and he is connected to September 11th somehow.
Right. There's a connection between 9/11, between guys from Saudi Arabia flying planes into the World Trade Center, and Saddam Hussein, the dictator from Iraq. There was a connection
there. Lot. We heard that a lot. Even
a
from
lot.
Cheney.
Even today, John, even after all the shit in the W being exposed as a monkey, a giant monkey.
Yeah.
45% of the population of the United States, the stupid asses, still believe that Saddam had something to do with 9/11.
Oh.
Because of all this rhetoric, all this bullshit, all this propaganda, catapulting the propaganda from the W. Now go ahead and play this clip. All this right. is an outstanding clip here.
Clip F8? F8, all right.
Suiciders to kill innocent life who would... who had relations with Zarqawi. Imagine what the world would be like with him in power. The idea is to try to help change the Middle East. Now, look, part of the reason we went into Iraq was the main reason we went into Iraq at the time was we thought he had weapons of mass destruction. It turns out he didn't, but he had the capacity to make weapons of mass destruction. But I also talked about the human suffering in Iraq, and I also talked the need to advance a freedom agenda. And so my question, my answer to your question is that imagine a world in which Saddam Hussein was there, stirring up even more trouble in a part of the world that had so much resentment, so much hatred, that that people came and killed 3,000 of our citizens. You know, I've heard this theory about, you know, everything was just fine until we arrived.
And
stir up the hornet's nest. It just doesn't hold water as far as I'm concerned. The terrorists attacked us and killed 3,000 of our citizens before we started the freedom agenda in the Middle East. What did Iraq have to do with what?
The attack on the World Trade Center.
Nothing.
Oh.
Except for it's part of, and nobody's ever suggested in this administration that Saddam Hussein ordered the attack. Iraq was a... The lesson of September 11th is take threats before they fully materialize.
Ken. Is do what?
Nobody's ever suggested.
Take threats.
That the attacks of September the 11th were ordered by Iraq. I have suggested, however, that resentment and the lack of hope create the breeding grounds for terrorists who are willing to use suiciders to kill to achieve an objective.
Well,
I have
what does that have
case.
To do with us?
And
it has
way to
nothing
defeat
to do
that,
with us.
Defeat resentment is with hope. And the best way to do hope is through a form of government.
There's no rules. Now, there's no question in my mind.
Unbelievable.
This guy is so goddamn mental.
Yeah, but kudos to the reporter with the balls
finally
to ask that question.
Whoever that was.
And that guy should be a Pulitzer Prize winner.
So after all this crap about Saddam had definitely had links to Al-Qaeda and was involved with September 11th, then he says, the W says, nothing. He had nothing to do with September 11th. What a, you can't even get your lies straight.
What a flip-flopper.
Flip-flopper. And here's the whole problem with the W. Now the other thing he's saying is, imagine what it would be like if Saddam was still there. Yeah. We wouldn't be over there. We'd be over here. How many troops wouldn't be dead? 2,500 of our troops? How many Iraqi civilians wouldn't be dead? How about that?
Yeah.
How about gas prices? Yeah, let's imagine that. Let's imagine if the W was never in fucking office. How about that?
That's tough. That'd be tough to
it
imagine.
Is tough.
I hear there's rumors on the internet.
But here's the whole problem with the W in his all the bullshit from day one when W was in office. He's basically said over and over, terrorists are cowards. They're cowards. We gotta fight them in Iraq, or we're gonna be fighting them here because they're cowards. They're cowards. But we've been fighting this war on terrorism, and we're not gaining any ground.
Right.
So we're losing to cowards. Now, this is his own logic. So we're losing the cowards. So what does that say about us, John?
The other thing is that they adapt very easily. And what happened, a prime example is Israel going in and bombing a bunch of civilians. And I'm not saying that they didn't have every right to start throwing missiles into to attack Hezbollah to protect themselves. But Hezbollah was they were cheating. They were
cheating?
Yeah, they were shooting their missiles off next to schools, and then the radar over in Israel would go, oh, there's where they shot it from, and they'd fire like 50 missiles into that site. But after the first or second one, they knew already that the Hezbollah dudes were setting up a rocket launcher, putting a Casio timer to it to go an hour off an hour later. They leave the site, the thing takes off, and doesn't hit anything in Israel, and then Israel goes crazy in knowing that they have all this firepower and just fucking level a whole city block. It'd be like if some knucklehead started shooting rockets from my house over into Mount Prospect, and Mount Prospect got pissed off and just fired a big giant nuke onto my street
right.
and took out my whole block.
But let's say you survived. Then
right.
isn't it your job to fucking clean up the knuckleheads who are shooting shit?
Sure, yeah.
For no reason. So why isn't Lebanon involved in shutting down Hezbollah? Now,
they
if
were.
Lebanon wants to stand behind Hezbollah and all these other Arabs who want to get rid of the Jews for whatever reason, who knows? I have no idea why there's such hatred for the Jews, John. Other than not believing in Jesus.
I don't either.
But if they want to do that, then say you want to do that, and then get it on, baby. Get it on.
Yeah, but look, the first thing that would happen is my kids are dead, and the first person I'm going to blame is the guy who shot a nuke over at me. I'm not going to think rationally at that moment and glom onto a group of people that want to overthrow this Hezbollah that's in my town. I'm thinking, well, now I want them because I need them to. Now I'm pissed because they collateral damaged me, man. And fuck that. And everybody thinks about their own shit.
That's
at that moment.
Excellent point, because we talked about this before and we still can't figure out why the red states voted for the W. But here it is. Early on, people make up their minds about somebody and then they decide, yes, I'm for him or no, I'm not. And that initial decision, all the facts that come in,
yeah.
they mold them. They spin them
oh, sure.
to what they're already thinking.
Right.
So you and I sized up the W. We seized a monkey from day one. We've made up our mind.
And then they build their argument.
And he's done nothing but prove us right, John. Now, these people who made up their mind about the W and said he's the man to lead our country.
Yeah.
How do they I mean, there's only so much spin you can apply before you realize he's completely overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And even when Scarborough puts on reports, is W an idiot? And they have people discussing whether he's stupid or not.
Right.
You gotta open your eyes, people. You gotta open
totally.
Your eyes.
It's unbelievable.
And look at it from a different perspective.
You gotta think about it for a minute. Think about America. What makes America great? Choice. To do whatever you want, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. Now look at your government. What fucking choice do you have? None. Now, do you really want everybody to think exactly the same? Because if that's true, at one point, there's going to be somebody else in there that you don't want in there. And all these rules that the W is putting in now, you're going to be bitching about it when that other person is in there and you can't stand that they're, you know, leading this, especially the NSA spying on the phone and stuff.
Well, that's the thing
if
that pisses
Clinton
me
was
off.
In office, you know, the Rush should be fucking crying about that.
That's the thing that pisses me off is he took a vow to uphold the Constitution. Now, as a politician, you take a vow. If you break that vow, I think it's breaking the law. So why isn't anybody calling him on it? Because he did not uphold the Constitution. He opposed the Constitution, Amendment 1 and Amendment 4, with this wiretapping crap because he sees it in his own perspective. But a judge said, no, that's not right. You're breaking the law. So he's going to try to get the law changed, or
yeah.
he's going to try to appeal.
A judge, a real patriot.
But it's in the goddamn Constitution, which he can't even comprehend. He has no idea. None.
And he was a history major, Scott.
Yeah, right. He was a history major. The history of Crayola crayons. That's the only thing he knows.
Crayola crayons.
Everybody knows the way to get into Harvard if you're a fucking imbecile like the W is to have a dad who's got a lot of money. And that's what the W had.
Right.
So he got into Harvard or Yale. Where the fuck did he go? Yale? With the all-male cheerleaders?
Yeah, he went to both.
He went to both. He went to
yeah.
Yale for his undergrad, John. And then
all
he went to Harvard
Yale.
To get his MBA,
yeah.
his master's in business. Do you think that guy can master anything, John? Anything?
No, I don't know, man.
Nothing.
Master in...
There is nothing going on upstairs. Zero. Zilch. And we talk about the exchange of ideas in dissent. None of that. He's got yes men surrounding him, and he thinks that God talks to him. The guy is a fucking imbecile. Imbecile, right. John.
Imbecile.
It's embarrassment.
Embarrassment.
And we got like 800 more days of this chimp in office. Unless the Democrats get voted in.
Don't remind me.
All right, let me get the door. Hold on.
Hold on a second.
Ooh.
Hold on a minute.
All right, I'll wait here.
Hold on. Can you wait a second?
Yeah, I can wait. Why do you want me to wait?
I want you to wait a second, all right?
All right. All right, I'll wait here.
All right, could you go get it now?
Yeah, I'll go get it. Thanks. Let me go get the door. Hey, man. What's that?
All right, come on back, would you? Lockstep.
All right, I'm back.
How'd you get back so fast, dude?
I have a shortcut on the way back. Oh, it's a long way there, but I have a shortcut on the way back. All right, before we get to Phil, I got two more really short stories. We talked about this just recently. Bush's new Iraq argument.
Jesus Christ.
He says it could be worse, John. It could be worse. All of the words that President Bush used at a news conference this week to defend his policies in Iraq, the one he did not pass, that did not pass his lips, John, was progress.
<It's a cock>.
Because there is no progress going on. Absolutely none.
I'm kidding.
None. So now his philosophy is it could be worse. Which is a bunch of abstract bullshit. It's like, what is he now? He's a psychic? He's like Nostradamus, John? It could be worse? It's a bunch of crap.
Nostradamus.
All right, and then the one thing before we turn it over to Phil. Another miserable milestone in the W's war, John. The W's war. The war in Iraq. The war on terror. Terror.
Terror.
So they want to take away our freedoms, John.
Freedoms, yeah.
And that's my job, because I'm the decider, John.
We're looking at this here amongst ourselves.
Oh, this is Rush. We'll get to him next week.
Okay.
That'll be old news by next week. But so he doesn't make episode 65, the big windbag.
The new survivor is actually a race between races.
I'll play him faster.
From here on September 14th, they are going to pit four tribes of people against
tribes.
The African American tribe, the Asian American tribe, the Hispanic tribe, and the white tribe. And they are going to actually have a battle of races on the next Survivor. They know that it's going to be controversial. They know it's going to be BS behind the scenes. Who just heard about this sort of scratch their heads. What the hell are we doing? What are we going to do to the swimming portion? How is that going to be fair? We've been looking at this here amongst ourselves.
Whoops.
The swimming portion, John. How is that going to be fair?
We've been looking at this here amongst ourselves. And our early money is going on the Hispanic tribe, providing they stay unified. We don't know who makes up the Hispanic. We've got the names here of all these members of the tribes. Hispanic encompasses a lot. You could have a Cuban in there. You could have a Nicaraguan. You could have a Mexican or two. You could have any number. And, you know, if they start fighting for supremacy amongst themselves, that could lead to problems. But our early money is on them anyway, because these people have shown a remarkable ability, ladies and gentlemen, to cross borders.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Anywhere they want to go, they can do it without water for a long time. They don't get apprehended, and they will do things other people won't do. They're playing the racism card. I'm telling you what a major network is doing in its primetime schedule. They're pitting races against each other in this stupid Survivor format, and you tell me I'm being racist. Now, I want to address one thing. I heard you, Tony. You accused me in a sly way of being racist by making comments about who would win the swimming competition. I know what you're saying. You're saying I'm being racist. You're saying I'm being racist because I'm saying blacks can't swim. I have here a story, and I read this recently from the Health Day News. One of the largest studies of its kind confirms that young blacks, especially males, are much more likely to drown in pools than whites. In fact, almost half of all recorded drowning deaths among people aged 5 to 24 are among blacks, according to the study in the April issue of the American Journal of Public Opinion. Blacks are especially likely to drown in motel and hotel pools, while whites tend to drown in private pools. Now, we've been looking at this here amongst ourselves.
So what does that have to do with anything? That black people drown in public pools and white people drown in private pools? What does that have to do with swimming ability?
I don't know.
Stupid ass. He's so stupid. I can't believe anybody listens to that fucking guy.
That guy's a fucking,
that windbag.
Fucking fat ass drug addict.
And obviously, I mean, you couldn't listen to him and listen to us, could you, John? I mean, there can't be any fans of ours that listen to Rush Limbaugh.
Marty.
Can't listen to him for more than a half an hour.
Marty.
Yeah, but Marty doesn't listen to our show, does he?
Yeah, he does sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
Hey, guys, when can I be on your show? He says all the time. Next Sunday. Oh, yeah, I got guard duty. Or no, what is he in? He's in the Air Force.
Whatever.
Reserves.
So anyway, another miserable milestone for the Bush war. And that passed the other day. Americans and Britain's disastrous war in Iraq has now lasted longer than the U.S. involvement in the Second World War, John.
I know. I heard about that.
This conflict has outlasted a war that ended with total victory over Nazi Germany. Hitler declared war on U.S. December 11th, 41, exactly 1,244 days later. May 7th, 45, Germany surrendered. The U.S. invaded Iraq 19th of March 2003, and this weekend, It is 1,267 days later with no end in sight.
That's right.
John.
It's the new Cold War,
None.
Scott.
No
be,
end
be
in sight.
Be prepared to be blacklisted.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is the new Cold War.
The new Cold War.
That's right. It's going to be McCarthyism all over again.
Well, I can't wait to get on that list.
Oh, look, we're on the list, John and Scott. Well, you ever listen to that Randy Rhodes chick? You remember her?
Yeah, sure.
She had a radio show. She still has a radio show. She's on a no-fly list.
Why?
Because somebody wanted to fuck around and, you know.
No, that's a joke.
There's certain
that's
people
stupid.
that are dissenters and they're on the no-fly list to get hassled at the airport.
Well, yeah, if you bring shampoo in your carry-on, you're on the no-fly list.
No, you're on the no-fly list if you're certain people because remember that the TSA is a government-run security company. So it really should be the airlines that provide their own security.
Right. Because
nobody's going to fucking fly on their plane if they think it's not secure. So they're going to do their best to make sure they get everybody on their plane. So they're going to have great security. And people having a decent job with a company that,
spin it out, man.
Well, a company that relies on customers is going to do a good job. Not some fucking lazy-ass fucks that work for the government that have a job for life. And their unions and their benefits are 10 times better than any private sector job. And they got those jobs for life. So, you know, go ahead. Pass this thing tube of toothpaste filled with plastique. I don't care. So, you know, whatever.
Whatever.
If the government has a job to do, they're going to fuck it up, is my point.
Right. So then, if that is the case, how could they conspire to have 9/11 happen? Because they're fuck-ups. They wouldn't have been able to pull it off.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point. Military's pretty smart, though, Scott.
Oh, okay. So the government is stupid. The military is
pretty smart, man.
Pretty damn smart.
Because they've been saying all along we shouldn't be going to Iraq with these little bit of troops that we got. Oh, yeah, go ahead, Rumsfeld said. Just do it. Yeah, he went and found the right generals that'll say, oh, yeah, we just need 10 guys and we can handle it.
Yeah, 10 Rambos.
Is Phil ready?
Take a job. Of course I'm ready. I'm always ready. I've been waiting very patiently.
I didn't
patiently.
Know if you were ready.
I didn't know whether to chime in or not your last topic, or you just wanted me to stick to the news.
We have 8 minutes, and it's
8 minutes.
10 to
I'll
11.
Try to get it through very rapidly.
10 to 11.
Thanks for the heads up there, John.
You're welcome, Phil. Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John. And our first story tonight. What is it? Did you have a question for me?
The question was, did we ever establish that you won an award?
I did win an award.
Oh, all right.
Did I? What award was that?
It's an award-winning newscast.
Award-winning. Yes, I did win an award.
That's the copy I had to read from. So.
All right, then.
All right.
First story tonight, John.
First story.
A cautionary tale of a janitor, his dildo, a rope, a rape, and two Samoans. When Marsilio P. Castro plunged a dildo into his rectum in the wee hours of February 20th, he could not know if it would lead to his arrest last week, but when the dildo became stuck and Castro began a ride that took him through the UCI Medical Center's emergency room and may land him in prison. According to the law enforcement officials, Castro, a buried 42-year-old janitor from Mexico City, arrived at work that day, called his bosses on the telephone, and offered this story. I was raped. I am so embarrassed. It was two guys. I was cleaning in the restroom when two large dark men, possibly Samoan, came in, put a rope around my neck and began strangling me, and put a damp cloth over my mouth so I couldn't breathe.
Oh my God.
When I woke up, I was alone in the restroom with my pants down to my knees.
Oh, no.
Alarm, Castro's boss immediately called authorities. Fire trucks, paramedics, and police rushed to the scene of the alleged crime, an office building in the city of Orange. Castro repeated his story to at least 12 individuals, according to a felony complaint. He told two police officers that he was clueless about what his assailants did to him while he was passed out, except that he woke up with a sore bottom. At the hospital, doctors ordered a rape kit examination. The day after the incident, Castro was more certain. Now he was positive he'd been raped by two Samoans. They'd put a damn cloth with chemical smell over my mouth, he told investigators. When I woke up, I was alone in the restroom. But Castro's story didn't add up, according to the veteran prosecutor Dennis Bauer, an investigator of Orange County Police. It was fiction, said Bauer. According to the DA, the 12 felonies Castro faces equal the number of alleged false statements he gave the cops,
and that's
nurses,
truth.
Doctors, work supervisors, and law enforcement investigators. Prosecutors believe he attempted to use his dildo encounter as a way to fraudulently obtain compensation from his employer. Mr. Castro is accused of sexually experimenting with a dildo, getting it stuck, and later making a series of false claims out of embarrassment and shame. He noted that Castro faces more than just possible prison time if found guilty. There's about $30,000 in restitution we think he should pay for wasting everybody's time. So remember that, John. The next time you stick a dildo up your ass, don't make up a story. Next story, John. This is going to sound goofy, but Pluto what? Is no longer considered a planet.
I thought he was a dog.
In related,
Disney.
Well, Pluto, no, it's the ninth planet, John. Everybody knows that. It is no longer considered a planet, but in related news, Uranus may be reclassified as a big black hole. Next story, done. Boy falls asleep in class, sues the teacher for waking him up. A primary school student in Shandong province has recently filed a lawsuit against one of his teachers after the teacher blamed him for sleeping in class and drove him out of the classroom about 4 months ago. Zidong fell asleep during class and was awakened by the teacher, Wang. Several minutes later, however, the pupil went to sleep again. Wang was enraged and demanded he stand in the corner of the classroom for punishment. Zidong refused to follow Wang's demand and went home directly. He has since been forbidden to take class, any class given by Wang.
What next about story, the principal?
I didn't hear about the principal.
Cream of some young guy?
Oh, that's funny, John. Gerald Ford gets a new pacemaker. Gerald Ford gets a new heart pacemaker. Now to get Jimmy Carter courage, George W. Bush a brain, and Hillary Clinton some red slippers. Next story, John. And this is a follow-up to a story we've covered over the past year.
All right.
A former judge convicted of exposing himself while presiding over jury trials by using a sexual device under his robe was sentenced Friday to 4 years in prison. Donald Thompson had spent almost 23 years on the bench and had served as a state legislator before retiring from the court in 2004. He showed no reaction when he was sentenced. At his trial this summer, the former court reporter Lisa Foster testified that she saw Thompson expose himself at least 50 times during trial between 2001 and 2003. Prosecutors said he also used a device known as a penis pump during at least four trials in the same period. Thompson, 59, was convicted last month of four felony counts of indecent exposure for incidents that took place in his Creek County courtroom. Thompson, a married father of three grown children, testified that the penis pump was given to him as a joke by a longtime hunting and fishing buddy. It wasn't something I was hiding, he said. He said he may have absentmindedly squeezed the pump's handle during court cases, but never used it to masturbate. Foster told the authorities she saw Thompson use the device almost daily during the August 2003 murder trial of a man accused of shaking a toddler to death. A whooshing sound could be heard on Foster's audio tape of the trial. When jurors asked the judge about the sound, Thompson said he hadn't heard it, but he would listen for it.
We got to get that tape.
The jury recommended a sentence of 1 year in prison and a $10,000 fine for each account. And the foreman said it was the jury's intent that Thompson served the full sentence. Next story, John. Britney Spears wants to be buried with her pet dog because she loves it so much. Cletus, in turn, asked to be buried with a case of PBR and a wife beater that smells of urine and failure. Next story, John. Thanks to an unusually hot and wet summer, a bumper crop of marijuana is expected in the Northeast. Late August means two things in rural areas around Glen Falls. Time for the county fair and time to start ripping up marijuana plants. An unusually hot and wet July made for ideal marijuana growing conditions this year, and police expect to find a bumper crop when they start taking to the woods and fields to pull up plants. "We're hearing it's great crop," said Saratoga County Under Sheriff Michael Woodcock. "It was jungle-like weather, and it's a tropical plant, John." Next story. Herpes cases declined by 19%, John. Herpes cases declined by 19%.
Okay.
I'll let you decide. Is this a positive side effect of desperate people with bad judgment spending more time online? Or is it because a month after Paris Hilton says she will abstain from sex for a year? You make the call. Next story, John.
Did you write that?
Burger King charges a Boston area teen $1.04 for a cup of ice that he needed for his injuries after he'd been hit by a car outside the restaurant. Would you like fries with that? Ice does not appear on Burger King's menu, but it should after Newton Teen limped into the Moody Street fast food restaurant last week looking for some cool relief for a sore ankle. John Michael Jassett staggered into the restaurant at 5 p.m. Thursday after being hit by a car. He was thrown from his bike and also scraped his knee, arms, and hands, his mother Cheryl Jassett said. But when he asked for some ice to put on his ankle, he was told he had to pay for it. The charge? 99 cents plus 5 cents for tax. That's the price of a small soda. I'm never going to Burger King again, John Michael said. Next story, John. National Geographic reporter arrested for espionage in Africa. Locals fed up with him taking pictures of their boobies. Next story, John. Is that a grenade in your luggage, or are you afflicted with microphallus?
Ow!
Maradan Azad Amin found himself in a tight squeeze, John, last week when security at O'Hare Airport discovered a suspicious-looking object in his luggage. So Amin, 29, handled the delicate situation this way. He told security the object was a bomb. The security guard then asked Amin to repeat what he'd said to the supervisor. This time, Amin was chuckling as he spoke, prosecutors say. In fact, Amin was trying to disguise the fact that the blacked object, the one resembling a grenade, was a component for a penis pump. At the same, Amin was charged. All the same, Amin was charged with felony disorderly conduct and faced up to 3 years in prison if convicted. Amin is due in court today for a preliminary hearing. Amin eventually told investigators he lied about the object's true use because his mother was standing nearby when the object was discovered, and he did want her to know about it. Next story, John.
Is this the last story?
Actor Daniel Radcliffe finally manages an on-screen kiss for Harry Potter. In related news, DVD bonus to feature 29 outtakes of Harry Potter and the Unwanted Erection. Next story, John. Hold on. Next story. Study finds we can't remember where we left our damn car keys, but our brains need only 1/10 of a second to decide if someone is attractive. I'm sorry, I don't have the detail for that story. Let's go to the next story, John. That's not the kind of head I was talking about. A Southern Butter woman was charged with aggravated assault A Southern Alberta woman who has been charged with aggravated assault after allegedly biting off part of another woman's forehead. Ooh. Police in Lethbridge were called out on Monday to deal with two women having a fist fight. Police say they watched as one of them grabbed the other and bit a 5-centimeter piece of flesh out of her forehead.
Ouch.
The victim was treated in the hospital and released. Chastity Fawn Mills is to appear in court on September 26th. Next story, John. Polar bear's genitals shrinking due to pollution. Bears insist that shrinkage is natural after swimming in cold water all day. Next story, John.
Shrinkage.
A West Virginia man claiming he was Osama bin Laden led police on a high-speed chase before he ultimately crashed into other vehicles. The terrorist act of choice for Tina Barrago of West Virginia was threatening by drink blender, according to reports. Bergero brandished a blender at police on Coastal Highway near 37th Street at the end of a high-speed car chase around 10 a.m. The story started Monday when Bergero claimed he was Osama bin Laden to police officer, which the officer responded to having him evaluated at the Atlantic General Hospital. Bergero was eventually released, according to reports. He jumped into a car and sped off when police tried to stop him. He ran a red light, almost hitting two cars, then plowed through three cars at a red light at 36th Street before his car became disabled and police surrounded him. After disarming Bergero of his blender, the suspect was charged with fleeing and eluding, hit and run, second-degree assault, and minor traffic charges. Next story, John.
Is that the last story?
Mick Jagger uses oxygen mask to bid to maintain stamina. In other news, Mick Jagger is still alive. Next story, John. Apparently, being drunk and having sex with a corpse is not a good defense in Georgia anymore. Parker Ward had no answers for why he had sex with a corpse of a woman he found dead inside a camper home. In a hearing Wednesday in Forsyth County Superior Court, Ward paused before acknowledging to Judge Jeffrey Bagley that he had committed necrophilia. Bagley sentenced Ward 54 to 4 years in prison, to be followed by 4 years of probation. Necrophilia, one of the rarest felony crimes in Georgia, John, carries a maximum sentence of 10 years. Asked by Bagley what happened on the night of December 27th, Ward began by saying he was pretty much drunk that night, having about six rum drinks. He said the 43-year-old Ward's boyfriend asked him to check on her camper at the 2300 block of Kenton Highway. Getting no answer, Ward called the boyfriend, who told him to break down the door. Inside, Ward found the woman lying in bed, unresponsive. Several empty prescription pill bottles were nearby. I checked her pulse, then tried to give her mouth-to-mouth, Ward told the judge. I knew it was kind of wrong, Ward said before admitting under further questioning that he had sex with the corpse, then called 911. The death of the woman, whose name is not being disclosed because of the nature of the crime, was ruled an accidental drug overdose, John. Authorities estimate she had been dead for 4 hours. Her body was cold and rigor mortis had set in. And the next and last story tonight, John. UK population hits the 60 million mark, John. UK population hits 60 million mark. John, that's like 94 million teeth, isn't it? And that's the news.
All right. Thanks again, Phil.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you coming by.
No, I appreciate you, John. News. And I'm going to bring in some stand-up one day because I've been working the circuit.
Excellent. Zanies, doing a little, routine.
I can't
little
wait
zanies.
To head out to UK with you guys and do some stand-up at
Second City
with Polly B.
What are you going to wear while you're out there? Did you pick anything out?
I have a white jumpsuit that I like to wear.
Excellent.
It's got my name on the front that says Phil, like I'm an auto mechanic, but it's a white jumpsuit.
Awesome.
It doesn't have any grease stains.
That's excellent. No grease stains.
No, none of them. Not yet, anyway, John.
All right. Well, thanks for coming by.
Always a pleasure.
Scott will see you out.
All right, Todd.
Point him in the right direction, would you?
Yeah, hold on.
Come on, man. All right, then. You don't have to be so pushy.
See you later.
Fuck it!
All right.
So wraps up episode 65, part 3.
It up.
And the entire episode of... Did I say 65? Yeah.
65
has come to a close, John.
That's right, it has.
So we'd like to welcome Air Out My Shorts to the Pod Riot.
That's right.
Listen to Phlegm Livid on Punky, their last episode. Phlegm Livid, our listener, got a poet read. What did I just say? A poem read.
Poem on poem.
On Poetry Corner. We've just switched to Red Bull and vodka.
And vodka.
And what else? Oh, we updated the website. So check that out. We
you
have some
get some gear.
TTN gear is available.
Yeah,
if you'd like to purchase some,
check it out.
And,
that's right.
What else is that? It.
I think that's about it. Yeah,
that is about it, John.
Oh, don't forget to call us too.
Oh, and Wednesday night we'll be at Duffy's to see the Spasmatics.
So come on out. and say hi to John and Scott.
And the Spasmatics.
And Spasmatics.
Our neighbor Steve, who got ripped off.
Ripped off.
Ripped off, John.
All right, well, until next time, we're John and Scott from Total Talk Nonsense. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we're out of here. Bye.
You're listening to John and Scott
on Total Talk Nonsense.